Howdy, folks. Today, we're going to talk about James chapter 2, verses 18 through 20. Do you remember, as we've been going through this context, that back in verse 14, the question was asked, "What doth it profit my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works?" And then another question, same verse, "Can faith save him?" Well, to answer those questions, the inspired penman of this book said this in verses 15 through 17. "If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." From there, we got verse 18, which is where we're starting today. "Yea," or "yes, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works." James then says, "Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." This illustration teaches that one cannot show faith without having works. Why is that? Because faith and works are inseparable. Faith is visible to God and to man. They are joined together. That's why language in the New Testament exists, like in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering without ceasing, notice this, your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Your work, ergon, remember we talked about these words when we were looking at verse 14, and faith, pistis, same words in our context here in James 2. Work of faith, inseparable. Faith and works joined together. And you know, love as well, but that of course is not part of our discussion. But when you look at verses like Galatians 5, 6, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avail anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith with which worketh by love." Faith which works by love. Listen, you cannot separate them. You cannot say, "I have faith," or "I have works." If you are going to be a child of God, your faith is going to work. Trying to separate faith and works is like trying to separate the Father from the Son, or the Son from the Father, or the Spirit from the Father, or the Spirit from the Son. There are three and they are one, and so are faith and works. You don't even have faith without works. Sometimes you hear people like James is obviously addressing here that want to promote this idea of, "I'm just going to believe and that's good enough on its own. I'll be saved just by that faith." And some of these people, especially in our modern day, will claim that faith was somehow miraculously imparted to them. The Bible doesn't teach that. It doesn't hint to it. It's a made up, absolutely out of thin air, that you can't even twist a scripture. You can't take an ignorant person and give them a Bible and them even jumble up and come to that conclusion. It is just impossible from studying the Word of God. Because you can't have faith without doing something. For example, in Romans 10, 14 through 17, "How then shall they call in him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." What is hearing? It's something you do. That means it's a work. You can hear or you can hear not, right? Right now in El Paso, in our Sunday morning classes, our Bible discussion that we have here, we are studying the book of Revelation. And we are currently looking at chapter 2. And one of the things that you see repeatedly to the seven churches in Asia is this statement, he that hath an ear, let him hear. You see it in Revelation 2:7. You see it in Revelation 2:11. You see it in Revelation 2:17. You see it as you get to the end of chapter 2 in verse 29. You see it in chapter 3 and verse 6. You see it in chapter 3 and verse 13. And you see it in chapter 3 and verse 22. He that hath an ear, let him hear. That's something you do. And listen, as that epistle would be read among the saints, the book of Revelation or the book of James, for example, they would have to choose to listen or not to listen, right? And I think we all know, you know, if you're a parent or if you're a child, you've had discussions where someone has said, did you hear me? And it's not, did my words audibly come into your ear? But it's, were you paying attention to what was being said to you? Have you ever talked to somebody and heard a phrase like, hey, it's like talking to a wall? Well, why is that? Because the wall doesn't listen. It can't, right? Why do we use phrases like that? We use phrases like that because we understand from young child to old adults that hearing is something we do. It's a work. In Colossians 1, 4 through 6, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and love which you have to all the saints for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is the world and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day you heard it and knew the grace of God in truth. What did they do? They heard in the word of the truth of the gospel. The saints in Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, notice that. Here's two things here. Receiving it and hearing it. Paul, Silvanus, Timothy then say, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:13. It's impossible. If you read 1 Thessalonians 2:13 and you thought faith happens without work, and you still can read that verse and walk away with it, listen, you are dishonest. You are Satan's child. There is no hope for you. If I had this discussion, and I've done this, where I've looked at verses like this with people and they didn't hear it, that was it. I didn't try any further because I know the word of God only works on a good and honest heart. Go read the parable of the sower, Luke 8, 1 through 15. Verse 15, it takes a good and honest heart. As we talked about in our past two podcasts, in this letter, hearing is not left by itself, but involves doing, right? We have read, and I'm going to do it again. James 1, 21 through 25. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, him being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Ladies and gentlemen, case closed, right? Faith comes by hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're both choices. I choose to hear, and then I choose to believe. Then I must do. Faith and works, inseparable. No way can you say one without the other can exist in a child of God. So, I don't know how to complicate that. It's too simple to complicate. when I was thinking about this particular verse, specifically James 2:18, one thing just keeps coming to mind. And if you've been a Christian for any length of time, it is very likely that you've studied through what I'm about to read to you. It's going to be a little bit of a lengthier read. But listen, I can't make this point anywhere near as good as Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 shows that faith and works are inseparable very clearly in a very understandable way. I don't have near the skill as the Holy Spirit who inspired the Hebrew writer. I never will, and I've never met a man or a woman who can come close to it, because God is the author of this text. So let's hear what God does. And I'm going to back up to Hebrews 10:38, and then I'm going to read through chapter 11. Okay? So beginning at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38, it says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we're not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." Chapter 11. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he hath this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and become heir of the righteous which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country." And by the way, if you're a note taker, verse 14 is essentially the same point as James 2:18. Verse 15. "And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence he received him a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and worshiped leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because he saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he had come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians assaying to do were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believe not, when she received the spies with peace. And what shall I say? What shall I more say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, and moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. All these, and these all rather, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Hebrews 10:38-11:40 shows that faith and works are inseparable. That faith works. That when you are a believer, you are a doer. You're not just a hearer. This is the problem James is trying to address in chapter 1, as well as here in chapter 2, though broken up by talking about the difference of respective persons between the wealthy and the poor. Coming back to it, I once talked to a Calvinist preacher, it was last year, and he asked me, he said, if you had one thing that you could tell me to do that you think would convert me, what would it be? And I said, I don't think anything will convert you because you have by choice chosen a false doctrine and you're out there teaching and making money in it. And I haven't seen people come back of that. I said, but nonetheless, I do believe in the power of the Word of God. If you are an innocent person and you've somehow been led astray, though this person didn't fit that description, I said, if you were such a person, I would tell you to take James 1 and start at verse 18 and read through verse 27 and then immediately go to James 2, 14 through 26. And if you read it like that, you will clearly see that faith without works can save no one, because this man was a faith-only advocate. It is abundantly clear. Hebrews 11 is evidence there. And by the way, if as I was reading through that, you were wondering where the accounts are of each of these things and you want to do some study, I have written articles on the book of Hebrews. If you go to wordsoftruth.net and you go to Bible study materials and you click on New Testament studies, and you go down to the book of Hebrews, you can pick chapter 11, and I give all the references in that material if you'd like to spend some time studying it. And I suggest, if you never have, that you do, because it is really a beneficial study. And as we get down into our next two podcasts, we're going to repeat 2 points that you saw in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to talk about Abraham, and we're going to talk about Rahab the harlot. So you will get that information a little bit further, and we will go back to some of the original accounts of that. But now, we're going to move on to James 2:19, where James continues to make the point. You know, he says, "Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble." So we see some sarcasm here. He's telling them, "You've got faith? Oh, good for you. So do the devils. For those that think their faith alone is enough, the devils not only believe, but they even go beyond belief. They tremble. And fact is, they not only believe and tremble, but they obey the voice of Jesus when he cast them out. Not that they had power to disobey. And they're willing to confess him." I want you to notice Mark 1:21-28, where it says, "They went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day entered in the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth?'" What did they just do? They just confessed Jesus. "Then, art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." They believe, they tremble, they understand, they confess. Verse 25, Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." When the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him, and they were all amazed. Insomuch they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region about Galilee. So I just took James' point even further. And you know what? If you want to back up at James 2 and verse 10, why aren't the devils who believed, confessed, trembled, who obeyed him to come out, why aren't they saved? Because when you offend at one point, you're guilty of all, right? Isn't it great how all that ties together? You see, when you teach the truth, when you believe the truth, you don't have to play hopscotch throughout the Bible. You don't have to duck and weave and bob back and forth and try to avoid this verse or that verse. You get to embrace all 66 books of the Bible and see the common thread and the unity of the scriptures. And you know that God is great. And you know that Jesus is your Savior. And you know that they did their part, and that your faith needs the work to do your part. Or else, you're just like the devils. You think your faith alone is going to save you? Where are they? In Luke 8:26-28, they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. Went forth to land. There met him out of the city a certain man that had devils a long time, wearing no clothes, neither abode in any of the house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out, fell down before him with a loud voice, said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." Look at that language. Faith? Yes. They even know the difference between the genuine and the false. And what I think is somewhat of a comical account, maybe you will share in that thought, but if not, you'll at least find it interesting. In Acts 19:11-17, it says, God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought in the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." And there were seven sons one of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Come on, folks. You think your faith alone could save you? The devils had faith and so much more than that. Unlike many professed Christians today, what, like 99.9% who think they're Christians that aren't, they don't know the difference between the true and the disingenuous. The devils know better than they did. Jesus, I know him. Paul, I know. But who are you? How many people are out there? You know, you could go on the Facebooks and YouTube and all this other stuff. I'm not on Facebook anymore. I'm not on social media. I do occasion YouTube from time to time, depending on my mood. And when I do, here are these preachers that were proclaimed to be faithful who will use terms like I'm a member of the one church, etc. And you'll hear them say, hey, read this book, or hey, do this, or hey, listen to me. Well, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know, but who are you? The word of God is what is able to save you, and you'll be judged by. Get into it. The devils know better than to listen to a man who will falsely use the name of Jesus Christ. Thou believe there is one God? Well, yeah, there's one God. Ephesians 4 and verse 4 through 6 gives seven ones. Based on the previous verses about unity, says there is one body, one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Yes, there is but one God. Paul wrote to Timothy, there is one God, 1 Timothy 2 and verse 5. And one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There is one God. If you think believing that is sufficient to the saving of the souls, well, the devils believe that too. And as we read, they go beyond. They even do some works and still aren't saved. Belief by itself is insufficient. When you think about what Paul wrote to the evangelist Titus, Titus 3:8 and then Titus 3:14, he says, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. And then verse 14, let us also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. Faith and works. And you know, it's not our subject matter, but being fruitful and other additional statements are there with faith and works. You know, when you read about Jesus being the true vine and his disciples being the branches in John 15, the expectation is that you not just work, but that you be fruitful. I think you can understand. Here's a very clear illustration for you. If you hired a carpenter to build something, and he just sat there and hammered on a piece of wood for 8 hours, and hammered and hammered and hammered and hammered and hammered, he worked for 8 hours. But at the end of the day, when you look at what he's actually done, there's been no production. So that means he's had unfruitful work. Nothing has come of it. Same is true with our works who are in Christ Jesus. The expectation is to be fruitful, to be productive. But that's not our subject matter so much. Just wanted to throw that in for you. So let's come to James 2:20 before we wrap up here today. This is going to be a little shorter podcast than normal, but I mean, other than just giving you verses that say the same things over and over again, ladies and gentlemen, this just isn't that difficult. James 2:20 repeats what was said earlier in the context in verse 17. Remember James 2:17, even so faith that hath not works is dead being alone. Verse 20, will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. If you don't understand his illustrations, he's just going to make the point very clear. And as we get down to the end of the chapter, he's going to repeat, and he's going to go a little further with the statement. He's going to say in verse 24, you see how by works a man is justified and not by faith only. And in verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Real simple point. He then says, O vain man, the person who wants to claim that faith without works is sufficient is a vain man. I want you to think about what that means scripturally. First of all, when we think about the book of James, in chapter 1, verse 26, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Go back and listen to that podcast. We talked about this. You know, we talked about this man's worshiping his religious works. He's vain. That is, this man is empty, profitless. So if you are a person who believes in faith without works, you're empty. You have no purpose. Going back to Jeremiah chapter 2, where Israel is being addressed in a time of unfaithfulness, verses 1 through 5, says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness and the land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend, evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Hear ye the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? That when James refers to, O vain man, remember this letter being written to early first century Jewish Christians who have been converted, understanding what was written aforetime. This statement tying back, look back at Israel's times of apostasy when they walked after vanity and became vain. That's the same thing as the person who believes that faith without works is sufficient to the saving and or justification of the soul. That's what I got for you today. James 2, 18 through 20. Next week, we're going to talk about verses 21 through 24, if all goes according to plan. And I will be back on Sunday, if, again, all things work out, with another podcast. If you want to get a hold of me, please do. Love to talk to you. Even if you just want to talk, even if you just want to say, hey, my name is whatever, and I listen to your podcast, and you know, so forth, you could go to wordsoftruth.net. That's wordsoftruth.net. My email and my phone number are there. Use either one. Love to hear from you. So that's a wrap. Until next time, thank you for listening. Goodbye.